friends, and welcome to Pod Return to the Waking Sands. We are a Final Fantasy XIV companion podcast where we explore the lore and story of Hydaelyn and beyond. My name is Jen, and I'm joined by my co-host and researcher.
I'm Levi.
Hello, Levi.
Hello, Jen. How's it going today?
It's fine. It's chill.
Fine. Anyway, Jen, today we are resuming the patch 2.3 main scenario quest. We'll be playing up to the quest, What Little Gods Are Made Of. But first, what happened last time, Jen?
Last time.
It's real easy.
How dare you? Well, it was refugee stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So there was a violent uprising with refugees, and Alfina was like, these people were armed, not with pitchforks, but with, like, actual weapons. And
he explained for 5 minutes why they wouldn't have weapons.
And Roban had no patience for it. So, yeah, we had to do some investigating, figure out who was arming these guys and who was filling their minds with poison. And it pretty much turned out to be Taleji and Allegi. And, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jen. So now we have been summoned back to the Rising Stones to see Minfilia because of this ethereal disturbance in the Twelve's Wood. And in the solar, we find a serpent herald who is mid-meeting with Minfilia. He says that he's been sent here to request the Scion's aid in dealing with this Twelve's Wood primal. So we give Minfilia a recap on the Ul'da business. Thank you, Jen. And she is relieved that the only injury Alfino sustained is to his ego.
Yeah. She's like, he'll recover soon enough. She now summons the rest of the Scions to let them know that a primal has also been summoned. And she says, probably. And Thinkert is like, probably. It's like, well, yeah, you know, the Seedseer has heard the Elementals talk about it, saying that Ramu has returned. And then, but they're not seeing any sort of, like, strife or activity in the Sylphlands. And normally when a primal is about, there's, like, some bullshit going on, you know, like sinking ships and destruction and terror and whatever, like, nothing.
But Papalimo, actually is us. Unlike his bellicose peers, Ramu is reputed to act only in defense of his children. And he's only likely to make himself known if the Sylphs are threatened. Yshtola asks how Sylphs summon a primal without anyone knowing. They were supposed to be under watch, Papalimo and Ida.
Yeah, Yshtola is like, so y'all are assigned to the Twelve's Wood, and we're on high alert watching for changes in behavior in the tribes. So this happened how? I mean, I don't think anybody in the Scions is like, you know, side-eyeing anybody else thinking like, oh man, they're like super slacking off. I'm always having to pick up after them. Like, they're never doing their job. They're always slacking off. So, but it does kind of come across like Ida and Papalimo were not doing their job.
Ida
or,
says,
you know, Yshtola is like legitimately like, okay, something is weird. How do you think you guys missed this? You know, it could go either way.
Ida says, we were watching.
Yeah.
They thought it was going to happen and it did. This does not please Yshtola.
Yeah, she's like, well, we knew something was going to happen. We just didn't know when. Because we can't just, like, go around poking around in self-territory. You know how they are.
Ida wilts under Yshtola's verbal assault. She starts to stammer. She says, oh, wait, I told someone. I told Papalimo, actually.
And he was like, yeah. And honestly, there wasn't really anything we could do about it except wait and see. Because there, again, Ramu is super slick, you know, he's a quiet sort of dude, and yeah, being summoned, I don't know, it's, yeah, so it wasn't like, you know, hordes of crystals, like, we had all sorts of really obvious signs for all of the other fucking tribes and summons.
I wouldn't give them as much of a pass as you seem to be doing, Jen, just because they're like, yeah, it's going to happen, whatever. Well, we can't do much about it, so we're just going to wait and watch for it to happen, and then we'll deal with it then. Which, I mean, either way, we're going to have to go mix it up with the Sylphs. Why not do so preemptively versus reactively?
Sure. And, I don't know how invasive that could possibly be going in and be like, okay, we think you guys are up to something. We're just going to barge into here, into your territory and start like big brothering you. No, can't do that. So, you know, I don't know. It could go either way.
Popolimo says that as long as Castrum Oriens stands, the Sylphs can't be blamed for wanting their guardian deity on hand. So in short, this was inevitable and unavoidable.
Yeah.
But they would have been happy just to watch and wait, except for a sudden influx of strangers into the Black Shroud caused the Sylphs to react defensively. It seems like the recent violence in Ul'dah has driven a number of refugees into the Shroud looking for protection.
And the Sylphs, the last time they summoned Ramu was because Garleans were all up in their shit.
Yeah.
They don't know, like, humans from humans, really. They're just kind of all people bad, basically. So when all of these strangers, you know, refugees that start showing up, they're like, could this be an invasion? Probably. Let's go ahead and summon Ramu.
So Popolimo wonders if we, the Warrior of Light, should treat with Ramu. After all, we already formed a bond with the Sylphs of Little Salus. Maybe we can convince Ramu of our good intentions. Yshchula doesn't quite buy into this positive thinking, but Minfilia heads off more bickering. She says that the Elder Seedseer has requested our presence, so we should go and see her first before we decide on a plan of action. So we head off to Gridania.
Yeah. So this is where we meet with Connie Senna.
Yep, and the Lotus Stand. The gang's all here. All of the Saiyans from the Solar, Thancred, Yshchula, Ida, Popolimo. There's also a Sylph here, a Sylphic servant.
And she agrees with, well, Popolimo, I guess. And that, you know, if we could attempt a diplomatic strategy, that would be better than just, you know, fighting a dude. And she confirms that the great elemental, like the head elemental confirmed that Ramu has returned. He's there. He's ready to go. So if we can parlay with Ramu, which is really weird, to avoid further violence, that would be great.
It's said that he is as revered for his wisdom as he is for his strength, serving as arbiter and guardian for his children.
Well, that's refreshing.
TBD.
Yeah.
Unlike the other primals you have encountered, Lord Ramu is no raging avatar of destruction. He is revered as much for his wisdom as his strength, serving as both arbiter and guardian to his children. Given that we and the Sylphs found a way to share the Twelve's Wood, it is my hope that this sagely immortal will be amenable to reason and that conflict may be avoided.
But before we leave, she offers a warning of sorts. She says, an ill wind blows through the forest. Yet it is not only the Twelve's Wood that flinches at its coming. All the lands of Eorzea shiver in dread anticipation. Have care.
It's also worth noting that before then, she says that because we, the Warrior of Light, have the Echo, we should be the one to treat with the Sylphs, but we end up doing pretty much shit all coming up soon. This whole sequence bothers me a lot, so stay tuned.
Okay.
But she's like, you know, you alone, Warrior of Light, are the one that should head this up because you can speak with the Sylphs with your...
Well, no, it's because we have the Echo, we could speak with Ramu without being tempered.
Speech isn't what tempers someone. You don't have to talk to them.
But just like being in his presence.
Well, all of us are going to be in his presence. Like, the whole gang, spoiler, is going to be up in Ramu's shit and no one gets tempered.
Oh. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I don't like the sequence one bit, Jin. It's pretty dull and also just...
It's really contrived. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this doesn't quite mesh. Also, the speech goes on forever, Jin. This is like a whole voiced scene.
Yeah.
Where only Connie Senna is voiced, even though there's a giant crowd around her. And then at one point, the Sylphic servant does this happy little dance when she says...
No sound whatsoever.
Yeah, no, just like it flits around and spins around in the air in eerie silence. It's
I'm like, we know that the Sylphs can speak.
Yes.
Yeah, so weird choices. They're like, you know what? You haven't heard Connie Senna talk in a while.
We'll hear a lot of her talking. Don't worry, Jin.
I'll let you have some of that.
That happens. And we head off now for Little Solace to meet up with a serpent lieutenant And we get there and we're told just to wait around because the Scions are going to go and locate Ramu. So we just dick around for a while until a Sylph messenger shows up. This is Maxio.
Well, we're going to follow Maxio deep into the Sylphlands. They're like, we can't go any farther because we might become like the Touched One. So I got to go. Your guys are just right around the corner, though. So, yeah, literally right around the corner.
And surprise, Ramu's at the raw etherite. Could have saved some time there, guys.
Yeah. I mean, at least we didn't have to sneak in and attune to it like the other ones. I don't know.
We find all the Scions deep in the Sylphlands. This is in the spooky, dark, purple-accented area.
Tim Burton area.
Yep. Where the tempered Sylphs lurk. And if we talk to everyone, there's only obviously one quest person, but you can talk to all the Scions here. And it seems like they've been through some shit as the Sylphs have been harassing them. And apparently one of the Sylphs took on our guys. And Ishtola did not like that one bit.
Yeah, they're sitting there just like shapeshifting into other people and walking up and going like, hey guys, it's me, the Warrior of Light. And that's fucking hilarious to me. Like, why? Just being like, you know, fey weirdos. You know? I don't know. I think that's kind of funny. But they're mad about it. They're not laughing. That's fine.
Yep. Ishtola eventually tells everyone to cool it with complaining about their Sylph experience, and Papalimo tells us that we can find Ramu at the Sylph's etherite. So we walk on over there, and as we draw near, this is a cutscene triggered by proximity to mm-hmm. the etherite. It's interesting. Few things do this. There's no clicky thing. It's just you get close and it triggers a huge cutscene.
Yeah.
So we see a host of violet sylphs hovering around this dark purple crystal. And as we near, they scatter and the sky darkens suddenly. Lightning crackles, ominous thunder booms, and a voice speaks to us from the heavens. Thine aura betrays thee, servant of Hydaelyn. Thou art the bringer of light, bane of Ifrit, Titan, Garuda, and Leviathan. I am Ramu, guardian of the children of the forest.
Yeah. And he asks us, what are you doing here? Well, okay. So we're here to discuss peace as an option. And Ramu scoffs at what he considers to be an insult.
Thou speakest of harmony, yet carest not for my children's desires. They did but wish to dwell beneath these boughs in solitude. Yet even that was too much to ask of man. Thus did they turn to me for succor. The sentence I pronounce upon thy kind is just.
His children have only wanted to dwell in peace and solitude in the forest, and that's not something man was capable of letting them do. So our conflicts have brought misery into the forest. It is our nature to court darkness.
Well, Jen, you're skipping the operative intro here where he says that we are the same as Garleans. We come here offering peace, but they came here offering conflict. Therefore, we're just as bad.
Yep.
All humans are the same.
Yep. I guess if somebody's been around for... I feel like I use the term millennia way too much.
Well, but
like,
he has been.
But yeah, you're going to probably have a more homogenized... You know, you're going to average out your experiences with humans. You're going to be like, oh yeah, no, this is bad. They're pretty much all bad. We get little spikes of good, but then everything else levels out and it's just bad.
He muses, if light and darkness were born when man was.
Yeah,
in the beginning, there was no such duality. So he keeps on dissing humans for a very long time. Humanity, meaning all of the peoples.
Just, yeah, of more course. Of the same, blah, blah.
But he's interrupted, though, from his spiel by our breast glowing. We pull forth the lightning crystal that was given to us by the Sylphs of Little Solace. Ramu is impressed that we earned such a gift and agrees to consider our proposal to treat with him if we survive his trial.
Yeah.
So now we have to fight him to prove that we're tougher than the darkness within us.
Fair. As far as justification for random ass fighting, this... this is somewhat believable.
I disagree heavily. We don't prove shit about us being able to balance our maybe inner darkness, according to Ramu, by fighting him. Either we come here to fight him because he's here, or we come here to talk to him and we fight him. It's the same difference, ultimately.
We have to, like, prove our unshakable goodness. Because with the amount of power that we've been given, if we go bad, we're going to destroy everything.
I agree that's what he says, but that's not what we do. We just fight him.
Doesn't
prove anything besides that we can beat
just
him.
Just more like if we were to encounter opposition to our goals, could we fight them off physically?
That's different. Okay. That's a standard trial of strength. The action here does not mesh with the setup, which is that humanity has an inner darkness and you have to prove you can withstand it. This is the opposite. This is indulging violent urges. This actually reminded me, Jen, of when we just recorded the Vonandiel Van Splainer Bastok conclusion, and this reminded me of the Zayd fight there.
Yeah.
Where he just wants to fight, pretty much, and he says we have to fight our inner darkness by fighting each other, and it's like, what the fuck is going on?
I've got this to exercise my sense. Demons. You know, you gotta fight, so
yeah,
we'll come up with a thing.
Okay, so to clarify, Jen, I like this fight. Arena's great. Music's great. Ramu's cool. Big old super beard man.
The voice actor's amazing.
Yeah, that's all good.
Yep.
And I know they want us to fight all the classic Final Fantasy primals, summons, whatever. And Ramu is a big name on that list. That's all fine. Just the setup here sucks. It doesn't make any sense. It's just a bunch of words and then we fight.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
That's all.
I felt kind of empty throughout the whole thing. I mean, the environment, like you said, everything about the character and this, like, the aesthetics and the sound and all of that is fabulous, but the story isn't.
Yeah. After challenging us to fight, Ramu vanishes in a burst of lightning, and the raw aetherite awaits us for this trial. But apparently, Urian Jay, he snuck up on us during the scene.
And he's like, ugh. You know, I've been reading about Ramu, and I've only seen some very old and faded sketches of him from parchments that are hundreds of years old. To see him, to actually see him in front of me, this was incredible.
That's the translation, Jen. The words are, "The Lord of Levin himself, never till this day had I looked upon his visage, save in painted renderings, made faint by time, ever shall the scene remain etched in my mind's eye."
He's got his etheric reader goggles on. And then he goes to take them off. And it's like, this I thought was really funny. Because he bends down in this big physical endeavor to remove this thing from his face. And he stands back up and you think, like, there's going to be a face. No, it's just more goggles. He removes the goggles to reveal more goggles. It's fucking great.
So he asks our permission to watch the upcoming battle. And we say, sure, bro. So we hop on in. We enter the Striking Tree. This is a very cool arena. I love the musical intro here.
Mm-hmm.
Music in general is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love it so much.
Yeah.
We step onto a hilltop surrounded by floating, glowing purple mushrooms. There is a giant shattered stump in the background. Everything here is bedecked in hanging talismans. Cool shit.
Cool shit.
And we get to it. So this fight has a lot of concurrent mechanics. Due to the busted A Realm Reborn item level sync, it's not going to be very hard, though I'm expecting it'll be a lot of fun when we do it next episode, extreme on min eye level.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just got a lot going on here. It's constant, just like lightning in 10 different forms.
Yeah. There are some really interesting mechanics done here, like utilizing the electricity to debuff some of your party mates. There's like a tether mechanic and you have to run around and collect electric orbs. So it's like, you know, I like when these things aren't just straight up like, oh, it's damage. Like, don't stand in there. It's damage. And sometimes you just have to like suck it up and walk into an orb and be cleansed.
Yep. There are obviously tons of various lightning AoEs throughout the fight. A big mechanic here is that, like Jen said, during the fight, little floating ball lightnings will appear around the arena. When these are out, when they're present, Ramu's abilities will be powered up. If you touch these, you gain a stacking buff on yourself. If you touch three of them, you gain the surge protection buff, which will protect you from lightning damage and a later mechanic. However, once you gain the surge protection buff, if you collect further lightning orbs, you get a stacking healing down debuff. So you want to pick up three orbs at most and no more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, though, you want to make sure that you're kind of balancing the orb quantity. You want to keep the number down overall to keep them from, you know, powering up Ramu. At the same time, you got to leave some out there for people to interrupt the tether mechanic.
Yeah.
This is called Rolling Thunder. This is a long lightning tether between two players. It deals damage to both players whenever anyone takes an action. You can cancel this by having one of the tether people gain that surge protection buff. When they do so, the tether will be broken and you can proceed. There's also an attack called Chaotic Strike, which targets a random player with a debuff that paralyzes them for a full minute. To free them, they have to be hit by a lightning attack. So if you get a targeted AoE on you or something similar, you can bring it on top of a frozen player to free them.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, you do want to bait AoEs onto people. Just one person, actually, but
yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
And those are the main mechanics. Midway through the fight, there is an ads phase where you have to kill mini Ramus called Gray Arbiters. If you don't kill them, Ramu will wipe you with his upcoming raid-wide Judgment Bolt. And that's it, pretty much. And not too hard, again, on normal.
Yep. Pretty chill.
After defeating Ramu, he dissipates into a crackling orb of lightning. He tells us that he has taken our measure, Bringer of Light. We are worthy.
Hmm. Cool. So now we are charged with excising the sin that has taken root in man's heart. I'm like, that's a really big job. I'm not sure that was part of the negotiation, but thanks. We are the champion of the forest, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, go forth, do good. And then he leaves or dies or
dissipates into ether.
Sure. Yeah. He's temporarily unavailable.
Now, Uriange approaches, now that Ramu is gone.
In witnessing thy struggle, a truth hath been revealed unto me. If I mistake not, it may yet prove a chink in the eternal armor of the Asians. But let us conclude our present business. I shall expound upon my findings at the Rising Stones anon.
So with that done, we're going to go back and check in with Connie Senna. Let her know that it kind of worked. He was like, I'll talk, but after we fight. And we're like, well, okay, that's the best we can do. She's surprised to hear that we did have to fight him, but she agrees with Ramu and kind of his assessment of man and how we're problematic. And, you know, with the alliance, the fact that we had a shared enemy, this common threat with the Empire, like that should have been enough to unite all of us like solidly, but it doesn't fucking work because we're all operating under our own self-interests. Every city-state is operating under its own self-interest.
Also, certain individuals, Telegi, Etelegi.
Yeah. Monetarists, yeah. So, you know, as the scars of the calamity fade, so too does a sense of shared purpose.
It cannot be denied that misfortune follows man. For evidence, one need only look to the conflict brewing in Cartano, or to the rising flood of refugees. Our shared struggle against the Empire should have served to seal our union. Yet the ties which bind the Alliance strain under the weight of gross self-interest.
Like, totally fair. There's not a lot. I mean, we just did the Ultima Weapon thing. That kind of re-solidifies, you know, it's like a couple having a baby to try to keep themselves together. it's only going to work
so dark,
temporarily.
Jen.
Yeah. Don't do it if you're considering it.
Have a dog instead.
No. Sever. Okay. But yeah, so like I get all of that, and so we leave to go back to the Rising Stones in a bit, but she has a little bit of a moment with herself. She almost begs the forest to explain this unease that she's feeling in her heart. There's this sense of a nascent evil or disaster, and she's like, tell me what the fuck is happening, but you know, we don't have an answer yet.
So the scene ends there, and Papalimo bids us to return to the Rising Stones. And that's where we leave off for today. Any thoughts, Jen?
What is in Ramu's beard? Is it another Ramu?
What?
Is it just hair?
Do you mean because of its voluminousness?
Yes, Levi. Yes, because it is a very large beard.
I think it's just beard, Jen.
It's, I know. Oh it, my
it's
God.
It's actually technically ether.
No, yes, anding from him, I guess.
That makes up beard, Jen. It's not actual hair, but just
it's you're going to sit here and tell me it's pixels, it's not real?
He didn't grow it. He was formed with it. He was born into the world with this beard.
God, the pedantry. Yes, Levi, thank you. Anyway, there's definitely, I don't know, there's probably like a beanbag in there. Maybe that's like, maybe there's some like camping stuff, or...
That's where the mini arbiters, the gray arbiters come from.
Aw, isn't that cute? They like all go back in there and zoop, zoop, zoop.
There you go, Jen.
Live in his beard.
Yeah. Anyway, Jen, I'm not trying to be contrarian here. I don't enjoy it. But also, once again, the Gradanian content kind of sucks. I was bored throughout the entire session this
same.
Time.
God, there's nothing here. And that'll happen, guys. It's not the first time. It's not the last. But, you know, we're doing it. We're moving through. It's going to get... There's going to be stuff.
And also,
but yeah, this was just like, wah.
Con E, she has so many voice lines here, but she says so little, and these giant...
They all of them. Everybody who had hella voice lines, except for Oriange, said the same thing over and over and over again. Every sentence was just like a reimagining of the sentence that preceded it.
Thanks, like, Alphino.
Bored as fuck. Huh?
Alphino's everywhere here.
I mean, he's got shit to say, but this is just like padding, 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 yeah. Padding, padding, padding. Whatever. That's fine. Ramu's cool. He can stay.
That's the thing, Jen. You kind of ask yourself what the point is of this sequence.
I would rather it just be like, Ramu wants to destroy our asses. Let's beat him down so that we don't get our asses destroyed.
Yeah, just like, hey, the refugees went into the Sylphwood because they don't know what the fuck's going on here. And he got angry and he's raining lightning down on the,
yeah,
the Shroud.
Yeah, we just, you know, like, you know, shut the off button off for a second while we deal with the refugee crisis. And I'm sure he'll be summoned again at some point. Like, fucking whatever.
Yeah, that would be much more exciting. You could have, like, some sort of solo instance running through this Sylphwood with, like, lightning bolts or
so
whatever.
So cool! Fucking cool as hell! Having, like, I don't know, like, lightning running over all of the buildings in Gradania, or, like, Buskroon's Druthers, or Hawthorne Hut, or something, yeah. And just some sort of, like, lightning storm. Like, shit, guys, we fucked up. We gotta go deal. Like, that would have been cool! Like, no, we're going to have a nice, like, a reasonable discussion with Ramu. And he's going to be
in violence.
Yeah. He's like, nah, I want to fight. I'm like, right? Of course you do. Anyway.
So I feel like the thing that doesn't get said here that needs to be said is that Ramu has to go because all primals drain the ether from the land. Right?
Also totally valid, which nobody says.
That's the only reason why. Otherwise, who cares? He's not hurting shit.
He's
we
not
don't need
hurting
to.
Anybody. It said, like, if only there were a threat immediately, like, a direct threat to the Sylphs deep in their own territory, then Ramu would deal with it.
Yeah.
Not in a, I'm going to destroy the world kind of a way, but I'm going to destroy the interlopers kind of a way.
Yes.
And I'm like, honestly, great. Then we don't have to deal with it. They can handle their shit. We'll handle everything else.
Yes.
Wow. Great. Like I feel like we've delegated it at that point, and we can focus on other things because we've just gotten through this whole thing where Alphino was like, the Scions are stretched way too thin. We can't handle all of this ourselves. And great, Ramu can handle the Sylphlands. Sweet. We'll do other stuff.
Maybe you make a deal with him where you just like feed him crystals so they don't drain the land or something.
Got to spend money to make money.
I don't know. Like that could be the result of the conversation, because what else are we going to do there exactly? Hey, please remove, please kill yourself so you stop draining the ether from the land. Like,
so, but I like it.
What is that end goal here?
I didn't ask to be here.
Yeah.
I was summoned.
But for real,
like,
what are we going to achieve exactly besides Ramu being dispatched in one way or another?
We're trying so hard. We're being like, the primals can exist if they want. Like, wow. Okay. No, Ramu can, to be clear.
Yeah. I'm all for that. Just figure out a way to, you know, manage the ether drain and great. He can hang out in the Sylphwood.
Would have been a cool experiment. And then if it didn't work, we'll beat him down and
there we
start
go.
From scratch.
Fantastic. Yeah.
We're working on it.
Also, again, his everything is equally bad speech kind of sucks, too.
It's hard because, you know, living in the real world with our tiny little human lifespans, when we get those spikes of good, they mean so much more to us than somebody who's been around for a billion fucking years.
That's the generous version of it, Jen. I'd say that this everyone is bad within them, so they all have to go. That is like some sort of one-dimensional genocidal villain type speech, not the so-called enlightened wise primal that Ramu is supposed to be.
He's cynical. You know, sometimes when you're around for a very, very long time, you can grow to be very cynical despite all of this knowledge.
Like Jen.
Like, oh, that's not inaccurate. I mean, you can choose what to do with that knowledge and how to, like, we're going to encounter these people going forward.
That archetype is already kind of common, frankly. It's not novel and it's not very interesting.
I mean,
either.
Zondi, same deal. He was around a really long time.
Yes.
He was like, what else is there?
Like,
Nothing but oblivion.
We just
all
did
right.
a fucking Zondi.
Yeah.
We don't need beard Zondi. We already got Zondi. Give Ramu, if he's supposed to be a quote, reasonable and wise primal, make him feel that way. Make this actually be a social encounter. I also want to fight Ramu too, but if you're going to have this setup where we're going to go negotiate, then
maybe,
don't make it just another fight.
Yeah, judge individuals on their merits, understanding that there's nuance and people are individuals. I don't know.
Anyway, Jen, that's all. This segment was pretty boring for me, but the fight's cool. Love the music. Looking forward to the extreme.
Yep.
Any other comments, Jen?
Nope.
Okay. Well, next time we'll be wrapping up the patch 2.3 story, so we'll see you then.
And that will do it for today's episode. Well, just a little guy. If you want to get in touch with us, you can at podreturnffxiv@gmail.com. We have the Discord. Check the show notes. You can log in and join a really excellent group of people. Share your glams. Coordinate group runs. Join our group runs. It's a good time. And then we also have our Patreon, patreon.com/podreturnffxiv. This is where we have some bonus content that we release, you know, somewhat regularly. For a buck a month, you get access to our Final Fantasy XI series, which is the Vanadiel Vansplainer. This is where all of our seasonal event episodes go and other random shit we decide to post. So check it out. And with that, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Have a good day or a night. And we will see you next time.